Get ready for the unreachable, the unspoken, and the unavoidable. Get ready for the unbodied fantasy radio theater. This episode is titled Drawn Back Again Part 2 and is part of a series. To hear the previous episode, go to theunbodied.com.
Now, that movie was crap, said Neil. He and Megan followed a pack of moviegoers down the plum-colored hall of the theater, leaving framed portraits of dead movie stars behind. The dirty blonde-haired 20-something reached out and pulled open the door for Megan. She and Neil left the theater and proceeded away from the box office, where a line of patrons was growing. "You picked out the movie. I hold you responsible," Megan said. "It wasn't even half as funny as you'd said it'd be." They located Neil's car and got inside. "Not so fast. I saw you laugh at a few scenes. With that blind shoe salesman at the end?" Neil pointed at her. "You thought that was a funny part." "But that was it." "Well, next time you can pick out the movie. If I see you again, that is." Megan turned toward him.
"What does that mean?"
"You know exactly what it means. You call me, we hang out once, and then you disappear. You don't return my phone calls, you never come to the things I invite you to on Facebook." Megan turned to face forward. "Every time I see you, I wonder if it's going to be the last time. I mean, we haven't spoken for almost a year."
"You're exaggerating."
"No, I'm not. Where have you been for the last 12 months?
"Nowhere. Here, God, you sound like you need to know my every move. Are you my parole officer?"
"Do you need one?" Megan shook her head.
"No, I don't."
Neil smiled, then narrowed his eyes and looked at her. "I think maybe you do. Yeah, that's it. You've been missing because you committed some terrible crime and got thrown in the pokey for a year."
"Not even close."
"What did they get you for? Racketeering? Money laundering? Or extortion?" Megan chuckled and shook her head. "Murder?"
"Who exactly would I murder?"
"You tell me, killer."
"Nobody."
"Then where have you been?"
The smile left Megan's face. "Around town, like I told you," she finally said.
"You haven't been seeing another friend, have you? Another Neil?"
Megan punched him. "Why do you care, anyway?"
"Well, I like to know what my friends are up to. I guess you don't feel the same way."
Megan sighed.
"I've been thinking, since you called me a few days ago. Do you still want to be friends?"
"I'm here, aren't I?"
"Yeah, you're here now. But tomorrow, I bet you wouldn't even answer if I called. You'd disappear again."
Megan drew her fingers through her hair. "You need me to be here all the time, then, for you? You need more attention?"
"It wouldn't hurt you to be a little interested in someone else," Neil said quietly.
"Is this why you agreed to come out with me? To lecture me on how selfish I am?"
Neil blinked hard. "You know, sometimes I think you want a friend, and sometimes I think you just want someone to fight with."
Megan stared down at the floor.
"I like you, but you're wearing out my goodwill. One of these days you're going to call me after being gone for months, and I'm not going to answer."
Neither spoke for several minutes. "So what can I do to keep that from happening?" Megan said.
"Come hang out with me tomorrow." Neil looked at her. "You're free, aren't you?"
Megan swallowed. "Yes."
"Then let's do it."
"But what are we going to do?"
"See another movie?" Megan grumbled. "Or we could take a walk, drive around, or just go someplace to talk."
Megan flicked at the edge of the seatbelt with her fingernail. "Okay," she said quietly. Neil smiled.
"Good, good. I knew this time was going to be different."
It was a week later, and Megan had not yet seen Neil. She'd spent her time cloistered in her apartment, reading. Neil hadn't called, and she hadn't tried to call him.
Apart from the obligatory social interactions at work, she hadn't really seen anyone in the week. But tonight, she decided to go out and be among people. She had envisioned having dinner somewhere nice, but felt that it was abrupt to call someone to meet her in 10 minutes, and she was too embarrassed to eat alone, sorely dissimilar amongst the families and date-night couples. She got fast food, sitting on one side of the curved, simulated wood booth and feeling anonymous. After her meal, she considered going to the bar, but couldn't convince herself it would turn out any better than dinner had. She found herself ambulating around the city. It was slightly muggy at that time of the evening, when the sky became a washed-out blue and the sidewalks radiated the heat of the day. The low hum of the traffic from the far-flung interstate came in on the breeze periodically. She was alone on the streets. Megan walked another block north and came upon the ruins of the house again. It was mostly the same as before. A few more wooden beams had collapsed under their own weight. Propped against a cement chunk was a 2x4, the same one she and Rachel had used to break open the back door. Had Rachel been here? Megan glanced around. Nothing indicative of Rachel's presence. Still, the idea that Rachel might have come to this place recently made Megan feel better. Maybe she should call her, seek her out. But what if she didn't want to see Megan? Rachel might be angry about not hearing from Megan in so long, just like Neil had been. She kept walking. She didn't want to go home, but there was nowhere else she felt welcome. A green, ivied fence stretched down the left side of the street. Trees grew close to it, their roots forcing the posts up in several places. The metal of the chain links had long ago rusted. Megan approached it. The thick concentration of leaves on the tree limbs jostled against one another in the breeze. What lay beyond the fence was difficult to discern. A few paces ahead, the fence had been stretched apart, creating a diamond-shaped opening. On the other side was a slope curving down to a stream. Megan squeezed through the gap in the fence and shuffled down the hill, disturbing the soft earth as she went. At the bottom, she stepped between small saplings and clumps of grass. The area was largely shaded by the oak and maple trees standing around the periphery. She couldn't make out the houses nearby, but that might have been due to the failing light. There were no signs of human trespass, no metallic potato chip bags or grimy vodka bottles. The stream ran ahead, curving left down the ravine. It mumbled softly over speckled rocks. Was this stream always here, somehow escaping the surrounding development, or was it man-made? It felt old to Megan. She wanted it to be old. The humid smell of water arrived to her on the breeze. She bent down to look at the stream. Stringy bits of grass waved in the current, and shadows clung to the underside of the rocks. The stream was deeper than she'd thought. The wind shook the trees overhead, and Megan remembered the time. It was getting late. She should be going home. Just then, something in the water caught her eye. The object appeared to be a ring or hoop. It was thick and perhaps 5 or 6 inches in diameter. It sat on a slab of granite, one side clearly visible. The other side seemed to disappear into the stone. Megan leaned in closer, but the movement of the water prevented a better view. What was it? It was obviously not a natural object, but Megan had no idea what it could be. Although she knew she should leave, her eyes remained on the object. What if I grabbed it, she thought. Should I? It's a stupid idea, but... Her skin began to feel hot, and the desire to obtain the thing grew in her mind. Soon her whole body burned. Ideas began to press heavily on her mind. I should just get it. I should get it and show it Neil and tell him the reason I couldn't see him was because I was getting this ring.
He'll think it's funny, and he won't be mad at me if I tell him something funny.
Megan plunged her hand into the cool water. The grass tickled her skin. She reached down, the water creeping up from her wrist to her forearm and elbow. She stretched, but the ring lay even further still. She bent down even more, the sleeve of her shirt absorbing the water as she sought the ring. The ring remained out of grasp. She tilted her shoulder closer to the water, and as she did, she lost her balance and fell in. In shock, she closed her eyes and swiped around madly with her arms as she sank. Her fingers grazed against something hard a moment before the rest of her body collided with it. Something rough slid down the length of her hand. Pain rattled around from her shoulder to her stomach. She opened her eyes but could see nothing in the now muddy water. Reaching over to feel her throbbing wrist, she discovered something thick clasped around it. It was the ring. She tried to lift that arm, but it wouldn't budge. She groped around the ring and felt another small loop forced into the stone. She tried bringing her arm up again, but it remained in place. Megan jerked her arm back several more times, but it couldn't free it from the ring. Feeling lightheaded, she compacted her fingers and tried to pull her hand through the ring. Her joints were crushed against the metal as she tugged. With one last agonizing attempt, she forced her hand through the ring and frantically made for the surface. She pulled herself to the shore, coughing and wheezing. Her limbs shook. Her wrist felt numb. Her lungs ached. But what really concerned Megan was the face of the man she had seen in her mind while she had been drowning. The man with glowing eyes. She stumbled up the hill to the sidewalk. It was completely dark by then, the streetlights letting out amber-colored splotches of light on each corner. Megan wanted to go home, to change out of her wet clothes and forget the whole thing. She wanted to go back to her life, boring as it was. But she knew she couldn't. Smith wouldn't go away. She turned around and began the trip to Rachel's house.
You've just heard Drawn Back Again, Part 2, another story of the Unbodied. To hear the previous episodes, go to theunbodied.com. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.